Ron?
You are now being transferred to broadcast. To end, hang up.
Rabbi Aubrey Hirsch, Chofei Sivan, 17th of June. The subject is Shlach Lecha within Sefer Bamidbar. So, good morning to Torah Manchester. This is, I guess, the easier way for me to get to a city slightly north of where I normally am. Nice to be in a Torah environment. The Sedra, just before Sheni, tells us, V'hayomim yomei bikurei anovim, that the date, the time that the Meraglim chose, or that Moshe Rabbeinu chose, to go to Eretz Yisrael, was the time of Bikurim. And the question is why we need to know this, why it is relevant, and it doesn't seem to be picked up within the psukim that follow. So the Arizal tells us that the mitzvah of Bikurim is the tikkun for the chet of the Meraglim. And whereas it might sound somewhat esoteric, it actually makes perfect logical sense, because the Meraglim used the fruit of Eretz Yisrael in order to be mitzi dibba on Eretz Yisrael. Mida keneged mida, we use the fruits of Eretz Yisrael to be Meshabeach and Tzedakah the Shivas Haminim. Rav Menachem Ziemba, Shem Yonachem Dolov, ties together Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh in this regard. And he says as follows: if you look at the Mishnayos of Masechtas Bikurim, Perik Gimel, Mishnah Aleph, gives us the process of how Bikurim are chosen. Ra'ah Tainer Shebichra, you see a fig that has ripened, and what you do is your kesher gemi, you tie a string around this fruit, and when it is fully ripened, you take it and bring it to the Beis HaMikdash or to wherever the Mishkan is at that moment in time. The interesting thing, says Rav Nachum Ziemba, is that the Mishnah gives three examples of what you should do. If you saw a fig, grapes, or a pomegranate, why dafka those three? Either give one or give all seven. But the idea is that it's those three that the Meraglim brought back, and therefore it is those three that are the cause, so to speak, for Bikurim, and hence the Mishnah emphasizes those three. What we are seeing, therefore, is that there is a theme almost in the Parsha of the Meraglim, and we've seen its application to the mitzvah of Bikurim, its connection to Eretz Yisrael, and the connection, therefore, to Golus and Churban. And therefore, not only did the report of the Meraglim create one of the Chamisha Devarim, Irais Aveisenu, that the Mishnah tells us took place on Tisha B'Av, it is actually something which we are told created Bechia Ladoiris, Atam Bechisem Bechia Shel Chinam, when you, Klal Yisrael, wept on the night of Tisha B'Av after the report of the Meraglim, you wept Bechia Shel Chinam, and I, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ekvalachem, I will fix this as a Bechia Ladoiris. So this created waves throughout history, which brought about from a Bechia Shel Chinam to Bechia Ladoiris. Now, what exactly is Bechia Ladoiris? So the Gemara defines the psukim in Megillas Eicha as carrying not only a message within the words, but within the order of the words and the psukim. We know that the first four prokim of Megillas Eicha occur as either the letters of the Aleph base. In other words, there are either 22 psukim, which is the case in Perek Aleph Gimel, sorry, Aleph base and Dalet, or there are multiples of 22. It's in Perek Gimel, three Alephs, three bases, etc., etc. The interesting thing, though, is with the exception of Perek Aleph, which sets the standard, and therefore it is in the order of Aleph to Tof, first pasuk starts with an Aleph, the second with a base, etc. The remaining three prokim, base, gimel, and dalet, change one particular element. The letter, the psukim, starting with the letter pei, precede the psukim starting with the letter ayin. And we are told, the Gemara tells us the reason for that is because of what the Meraglim did. Hikdimu peh la'ayin. They, omru b'peh, said things, sheloi ro b'ayin, which they did not see. And therefore the letter peh, which denotes the peh, the mouth, precedes the posuk starting with the letter ayin because they said things which they hadn't seen. But that brings an obvious question into focus, and that is, if they said things that they had not seen, then it's not a case of hikdimu peh la'ayin, it's omru b'peh, there is no ayin, they never saw it. They said things which they had not seen. So it should just be the letter peh that features, and no letter ayin at all. And the answer is that once they said it, they created a reality. It wasn't pshat that it was simply an invention which remained in the air, remained fantasy. They created a reality. And in fact, all of the events, all of the narrative in Bamidbar is coming to teach us that we create a reality in this world, not just simply that there is schar v'oinesh to our actions, but we actually create something to the extent that after omru b'peh, it was actually visible to the ayin. And in this way, Sefer Bamidbar is a direct contrast to Sefer Vayikra. They are the opposite sides of a coin. Sefer Vayikra tells us how high we can go, what our matara is, kadoshim tiyu. But it's not simply that one mitzvah. If you look through Sefer Vayikra, you will find numerous mentions of ani Hashem aleikechem, ani Hashem, over and over again. The interesting thing is that in the first half of Sefer Vayikra, which is all about Korbonus and Beis HaMikdosh and Kehanim, there, Ani Hashem is only mentioned once. And even then, it's in the context of Kashrus, at the end of Parsha Shmini. Whereas in the second half of Sefer Vayikra, dealing with all the mitzvahs, maisiyos, you find Ani Hashem over 50 times. And it follows the interplay of mokoim, of zman, and of my interpersonal relationships with people. What is known often as olam, shona, and nefesh. The whole of the second half of Achrimois, of Kadeshim, is all about nefesh, is the mitzvahs that I have to do towards or with other people. Emor is zman, is Shabbos and all the Yom Tovim, the cycle of the year. And then Bahar with Shmita and B'chukaisai with the Golus, if we don't do the mitzvahs, all of that is mokoim. So Sefer Vayikra is putting down a hanocha of what I'm here to achieve and what I can achieve. Sefer Bamidbar does the opposite. It tells us that if we go in the opposite direction, even if we start out as kulam anoshim, we can create a reality which brings us to an extreme. And in the same way as the Meraglim were too scared to leave the protection of the Midbar, and that brought about their end, that their lack of emunah in a land which HaKadosh Baruch Hu had promised to them. The Mapilim, who are the next parasha within Parasha Shlach Lecha, are too confident. And they say, we're going. And Moshe said, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't be with you. No, doesn't make any difference. We can make it happen. You have extremes of behavior which are creating a reality. And if we go back for a couple of minutes, one sedra to Baalei Yischar, the Abarbanel, on the parsha of the slav and the complaints about meat, has Kedarku B'Kodesh, a whole series of questions. He has about 25 questions. I'm going to share five of them with you, just to show you the binyan that he creates, which is nagea to what we're talking about. The first thing he asks is that they complained that we want meat. And immediately the next words are, Zacharnu es hadoga, we remember the fish that we ate in Mitzrayim. So we want meat because we remember the fish. Is this like, you know, elal, chicken or beef? They ask for the one and they want the other. And not only that, but they mention all the wonderful menus that they had in Mitzrayim. They served them onions. Who eats onions? So this is like, you know, the apex of what they are aspiring to. More than that, the Torah then goes on to describe the mon, that it's ke'en habdoilach, and it was covered by shechvas atal. Who cares? They want to eat, and you're telling me, you know, that it looked like the dew on the mountaintops. Who cares? Then Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may I only bosso, how am I possibly going to provide them with enough food? Which sounds like a lack of emunah, to which Rashi says, but he did it in private. But Rashi is following a narrative that seems to indicate that Moshe Rabbeinu was prepared to accept that there's a possibility this might not happen. That ma'ayin li bosso. To which HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds by saying, Hayad Hashem tiktzor. Do you think that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't provide? So, you know, what exactly is this interplay? And then there is the question, fundamental question. If they are complaining and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eventually going to put them to death for it, so why does he give in to them? Why does he give them their taifa? If they've done something wrong, and as a result, they're going to be punished for it, so why provide them with what they are asking for? And finally, within the Psukim, it says that each person was Ish Pesach HaHolei, they were crying, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very angry, and Be'enei Moshe Ra. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was very angry, and Moshe wasn't too pleased either. What do we need Moshe's Hechsher Stempel to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger? So the Abarbanel says that the whole idea there, as the Torah itself tells us, what it was his Avu Taiva. They had a Taiva for. They had a taiva for taiva. You can never fulfill that. It's a bored teenager telling you, I'm bored. There's nothing you're ever going to be able to provide for them which is going to deal with it. There are no borders anymore. And therefore what Moshe sees is Ish Pesach HaHolei. They are so unembarrassed of their taiva that they are publicly crying over the fact that they haven't got what they want. And hence, the Torah has to contrast it by pointing out how unbelievable the mon was, not just in taste, but its entire appearance was one of purity, was one of beauty. And even so, it did nothing for them because they were just interested in taiva. And at that point, just like in Shlach Lecha, kulam anoshim, with a natia from the derech, become people who are goyzer the whole of Klal Yisrael not to go into Eretz Yisrael, and Agoyze B'chiyon L'Doris. That's how powerful a human being is, that we can change, in this case negatively, a reality from being on a particular maslul, on a particular mahalach, to overturning the whole thing, that there is a B'chiyon L'Doris in every single generation from then on. So too here in Parshas Baalei Yischar, if there is Avu Taiva, there are no Gedarim anymore. And therefore Moshe said, we will never be able to provide them with enough. It's not that Moshe was doubting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ability. It's that Moshe said, if the Taiva is just for Taiva, it doesn't matter how much you give them. It will never help. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to him, no, no, Hayad Hashem Tikso, you don't understand what my goal is. In providing for them, the taiva will kill them. They will die of taiva. And just like the meraglim, their tongues extended, they will die of the chait. And that's the only way to deal with such extreme behavior. That there is a, whether it is for taiva in Balaischa, whether it is for emuna with meraglim, whether it's for gaiva, and we can carry on through the whole of Parashas Korach, the various different complaints, the Korach himself, and then the machatois, and then the budding of the almonds. In every case, it is an example of behavior which can lead to extremes. And just like Sefer Vayikra tells us how extreme we can become positively, Kadoshim to you, Ani Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes into us not just when there is a Beis HaMikdash, but in keeping Shabbos, in all of the various mitzvahs, Einas Dvorim, all of that creates Ani Hashem. The opposite is true in Sefer Bamidbar. And therefore what we need to do in order to, so to speak, ensure ourselves against this is create a consistency, create a kvius, create a place which we can get back to, which will anchor us and prevent us from just being a prey to a taiva or gaiva which can overcome us. And hence the Gemara where Rabbi Yosef says with regards to Matan Torah, if not for this day, he doesn't say Hahu Yoma, it says Hai Yoma. If not for this day, Kamo Yosef Ika Beshuka, which literally translates as how many Joes would there be in the marketplace? And what he seems to be implying is he, if not for Torah, would simply be just like another Joe. He'd be another Yosef. There would be no difference between him and anybody else. And it's Torah that has changed him. But the way he describes it, the Kamo Yosef Ika Beshuka, how many Yosefs there would be, is an unusual way of alluding to the fact that Torah has changed his life. So I saw an idea that what he is saying is that Torah gives us a lens through which we can filter any situation that comes our way. That doesn't mean that we will apply the same range of intellect or emotions. We have a Tisha B'Av and we have a Purim. But it gives us a singular reality through which to perceive that which is going on today, now, and that which is going on in 3 hours' time, and that which is going on in 2 weeks' time, and 4 months ago. And therefore, were it not for Torah, Kamo Yosef Ika Beshuka, there would be lots of Joes in the marketplace and they would all be me. Because one day I would have a bad temper and one day I would be open-minded and on a particular day I would be charitable and on another day I'd stub my toe and I'd be cursing the world. Kamo Yosef Ika Beshuka means if I don't have an anchor, if I don't have a kvias, I'm just subject to whatever wind is blowing at the time. I am unable to create a fixed element within my life. And if I'm not moored to something, I can simply go in any direction. And the Maral in many places explains that all of creation is a combination of Chomer and Tzura, which means as follows. Everything has a raw base ingredient, and then it has the tzura, the actual shape that we give to that ingredient. So you take a piece of wood and you give it a back and four legs. And now that chomer, that raw ingredient of wood, has taken on the tzura of being a chair. If it were stuck in the ground and planted, that same chomer would be a living tree. The tzura is imprinted on it through the designer, through the creator. And he says, Moshe Rabbeinu is known by the name Moshe. Hagam, he had 10 names. And he's given this name when he's 3 months old. And he's given this name, therefore, on Shavuos, because he was born on Zayin Adar. 3 months later is Zayin Sivan. What is his name? Kimina Mayim Meshisihu. I drew him out of water. Water is the physical element, visible physical element, with the least amount of tsura, with the least amount of shape. You put water in a square box, it looks square. You put it in a round container, it's round. And for how long will it be round or square? For as long as it's there. The moment you move it out of there, it changes shape. It virtually has no tsura whatsoever. It is almost pure chomer, as opposed to Moshe. Moshe's purpose in life was to give the Torah to the world. In other words, to give purpose, to give meaning, to give a goal for every single thing that had been created. And therefore, min ha'mayim meshisihu doesn't just define an event in Moshe's life, it defines the whole of Moshe's essence. He is there to be removed from chomer. He is tsura personified. If we are able to bring tsura to bear, if we are able to remember that there is a higher calling, then we are able to create at all stages in life. As Rabbi Yosef said, we are able to remove ourselves from the threat of Kama Yosef Ikka B'Shukah. And I'll close with one last thing based on this week's Perek and Pirkei Avos. Rabbi Chanina ben Naisa says, Kol sheyiras chetei kedemes lechachmosei, chachmosei miskeyemes. Kol chachmosei kedemes liyiras chetei, you need to have yiras chet before chachma. What does it mean to have yiras chet before chachma? And why is that the ingredient for your chachma being miskayim? Or reishis chachma yiras Hashem? The idea is that knowledge is neutral. Knowledge that I pick up can turn me into a tremendous individual, or it can turn me into an animal. I mentioned, I take groups to Poland, to Auschwitz, that there is a photo at the beginning of an orchestra, of a Yiddish orchestra playing. Why? Because some of these Nazis, including Mengele, Yimach Shemoi, they were aficionados of music, and therefore they saw themselves as cultured. Knowledge of music, even appreciation of music, does nothing for you if you don't use it in a manner of yiras hachet. If it doesn't come from an origin, from a foundation of yiras hachet, then the more knowledge and the more culture I have, the less of a human being I am. It's ironic that in universities around the world, if you have a degree in arts or literature, it's called a degree in humanities. It doesn't make you more human. What makes you more human is what purpose, what goal you put knowledge to. And if the foundation is yiras chet, then all of the knowledge is simply built on top of that. Where that happens, I am ensuring myself against the extremes of Sefer Bamidbar, and I am moving in the direction that Sefer Vayikra has created for us. And this, therefore, even if we look at a parsha in isolation in Bamidbar, like the Meraglim, expands into an understanding of human behavior, of where we can take ourselves to, Bein Latov, Bein Lamutov.